You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of the more intriguing results of recent elections here in Michigan centered on marijuana. As you recall, voters in Ferndale, Jackson, and Lansing all said yes to decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana, and they did it by large margins. Each passed with more than 60% of the vote. Voters in Grand Rapids, Ypsilanti, Flint, and Detroit have passed similar ballot questions in recent years. Of course, Michigan voters approved legalizing marijuana, medical marijuana, in 2008. And a recent Epic MRA poll found a majority of Michigan voters now support legalizing or decriminalizing pot in some capacity. And that's in sync with national polling on marijuana. A Pew Research Center survey earlier this year found 52% of Americans say marijuana should be legal, and that's up 11 percentage points since 2010. We wanted to talk about this, so now we turn to Melvin Levitsky. He's a professor of international policy and practice at the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. He served as U.S. ambassador to Bulgaria and Brazil. And from 1989 to 1993, he served as Assistant Secretary of State for International Narcotics Matters. And then in 2003, Ambassador Levitsky was elected to a seat on the International Narcotics Control Board based in Vienna. He served on that board until 2012. Ambassador, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
When we hear discussions about relaxing marijuana laws, I have seen the terms decriminalizing and legalizing used often, and I think sometimes not correctly. To make sure we're all on the same page, the two are not synonymous, are they?
No, they're quite different. Decriminalizing generally means that although marijuana remains illegal, that is, recreational marijuana in the state of Michigan remains illegal, police will not arrest and there will not be a conviction for small amounts in terms of possession. That is individual. If someone is caught with a large amount of marijuana, which would then lead to the conclusion that they were going to peddle it or sell it, then that still becomes a crime. Question is, particularly in the places in Michigan that have decriminalized and instructed their police not to go after people that
right.
have small amounts, is what's a small amount? And the second question is that, of course, that there's a conflict with federal law here as well and with our treaty obligations. It's not as simple a question as just saying, well, we'll just not pick people up. The rules count. The regulation of medical marijuana counts. There are a lot of different aspects of this that are important in terms of public health, in terms of law enforcement, and a variety of other social and legal questions.
And before we get into all of those issues, which are so important with the federal stance and our treaty obligations, can you give us some history? When do you pinpoint the beginning of this national trend toward relaxing our attitudes towards marijuana?
Well, for a long time, there have been a variety of groups that have been in favor of legalization. You know, there's Normal. There are a couple of big hitters, like George Soros, who have sponsored these referenda. I would say, though, in terms of actually a state doing something about it, it would be the state of California in 1996, which had a referendum which passed medical marijuana. At that point, the federal government did not intervene, and then we had a variety of states. We now have 20 states plus the District of Columbia that have legalized marijuana for so-called medical purposes.
And that kicked the door open, in a sense.
Well, I think, you know, California did it. Federal government actually took them to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled that federal law was supreme, but then the federal government didn't do anything about it in California. And one state after another then began to there was a kind of, a cascade of sorts. And now, as I say, we have 21 places where there is the so-called medical marijuana.
Then we have Colorado.
Yep.
Colorado voters just decided, well, let's let the state make some money off of this recreational marijuana use.
Yeah, I think that'll be exaggerated, because if the state makes a lot of money off marijuana use, the people are going to buy it illegally. If there's a price differential between the illegal marijuana and the legal marijuana, and you can only buy it in certain places and it's difficult to do, they'll still be an illegal market.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about our nation's greater tolerance towards marijuana, certainly something we saw reflected in recent elections here in Michigan. I'm speaking with Melvin Levitsky, who's a professor of international policy and practice at the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. He's a former U.S. ambassador, and among the many activities, he served and was elected to a seat on the International Narcotics Control Board, serving on that board from 2003 until 2012. As you look at this relaxing of voter and citizen attitudes towards marijuana ever since that referendum in California in 1996, what do you credit that attitude shift to? What factors?
Well, I use the administration's own drug czar, who said that he believes that people think, well, it's a medicine, can't be that bad. One state after another doing this, ideas change. People begin to think, well, this isn't such a bad thing. Why is it any different than alcohol? I think those are important factors. It's also a case where we haven't had good leadership from our presidents, beginning with President Clinton, who kind of made a joke of it. You know, I didn't inhale.
Yes.
President Bush, who never talked about it because he'd had some problems in his own background. And now President Obama, who, you know, if you read his biography, said he smoked marijuana and, you know, did a little blow, as he said, cocaine. And, in fact, when the federal government says we are not going to prosecute or go after people who are in accordance with state law, even though they're committed a criminal act under federal law, it sends out a message, I think, from the top that, well, this isn't an important thing. Go ahead and do it. You know, leadership does count. And generations changed, and the way that certain generations look at substance abuse has changed as well. There's a variety of factors. I wouldn't, you know, point to any one particular thing that has done this.
What about the more global implications of this push toward decriminalization? You referred to the fact that it certainly puts these state laws at odds with federal law.
Yeah.
What about our treaty obligations as well?
Well, there are three drug control treaties, big ones. And virtually every country in the world has signed all three of them. United States is not only a signatory, but pushed these conventions, especially the 1988 convention, which has the words, use of marijuana should be considered a criminal act. It doesn't say whether it should be punished or not, but it says states are supposed to criminalize the possession of marijuana. And marijuana is listed as a drug that has no scientific or medical use in these conventions. In international law, if you sign a convention that is non-self-executing, that just doesn't execute itself, you have to conform your law to the obligations of the treaty, which we did. We have the Controlled Substances Act. We've been in effect for about 40 years. It has marijuana in the very top category, which says no scientific or medical use, hasn't changed. So we have a treaty obligation, we have a federal law obligation, then we have the Constitution. So what does the administration say about that? So far it hasn't really issued what I would call a definitive opinion, but basically the same position it had on medical marijuana, which was we're not going to go in and prioritize going after people who are in conformity with state law. It will internationally. It looks like the United States, which has already been declared in violation of its obligations by the board I used to be on, it looks like the United States is a kind of an international outlaw, deciding that it doesn't have to conform with its own obligations. The brave thing to do, the right thing to do, if that's the case, if we're going to legalize federally, let's say, would be to get out of that treaty. The United States won't do that. That would be such a symbol for the rest of the world. It would be a further diminishment of our image all around the world. So we're in kind of a pickle right now, I would say. Government doesn't want to do this, doesn't want to say anything about states legalizing, doesn't want to go into the states as well. What does it tell the citizen about law?
And when you see voters saying with over 60% yes vote on decriminalizing, is the genie out of the bottle? Have we passed the point of no return?
Well, a pessimist would say, or maybe an optimist would say, probably yes. I would tend to think that if we had stronger leadership, I don't think we're going to get it from this administration. They're pretty much set in their ways on this. In fact, they probably agree with it. Otherwise, they would at least try to do something, take the states to Supreme Court, even on principle. But at least it could be established that what the state has done is unconstitutional, and that the federal government has chosen not to do. And I think this idea of cherry-picking federal law by deciding, you know, which ones we will abide by and which ones we won't is a very bad precedent, not just for drugs, but in general, because a future administration could decide to not abide by another federal law that might be important to a lot of people around the country. So I think this is it's bad policy, I think.
Melvin Levitsky, former U.S. ambassador, former member of the International Narcotics Control Board, and today a professor of international policy and practice at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Ambassador, it was very good to speak with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.